With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I'll be beating out 11 watts of wackiness, hour after hour of unscripted, unrehearsed comedy.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Aha! You are Jesus!
Yes, I am.
Oh my God! Jesus Christ! The Messiah! You've returned! You've returned to bring us the good word!
What word?
It's one of my guilty pleasures. It's a W. I mean, I wouldn't claim heterosexuality.
K-Rock is the greatest radio station
in the world.
Because y'all keep it funky.
And juice.
God damn it, I love that show.
Me too, I want it to be on again right now.
The best show since no other show.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It is some straight up boning music.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
How about that whole deal?
We're in both demos, aren't you? 20s and late 80s.
Terrible human beings.
Just pass it around.
Let's rap, kids.
And the bogart that joined, my friend.
This is a success.
And just pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
And now.
Man, I'm freaking out, dog. Somebody just updated my status and said this penis sure is scrumptious.
Our feature presentation.
What's up, party people? Welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Fri-yay.
Nope.
The 16th of March. You're a nope too, Mike?
Yeah.
I thought I could count on your support for some Fri-yay.
Sorry, buddy.
I've been working with these Allie and Kevin. They've been drinking the Haterade on having fun.
Oh, jeez. Here we go.
And I figured I could get some support on you because You're punny.
I love puns.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Me too. Fri-yay is not a pun.
No, it's not. But it's in the same whimsical family. It's living over there in that part of the world.
It comes off a little to what a seventh grade girl would say right before other seventh grade girls would make fun of her. You'd be like, "Did you just say Fri-yay, you dumb bitch?"
Yeah, yeah.
See, that's because you were in the cool mean kids. Place in the lunchroom.
I wasn't, actually. Though. I was like in isolated, let's pretend I'm invisible.
You just called a seventh grade girl a dumb bitch for saying Fri-yay.
No.
That's mean.
I was doing an impersonation of another seventh grade girl calling another seventh grade girl a dumb bitch.
Right. Well, you are what you pretend to be, my friend.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, it's Fri-yay, and no one is going to talk me out of it. Because I'm excited about it being Fri-yay, and I think it's going to be a fun Fri-yay.
I definitely encourage you to run with it. Just because Allie doesn't like it, just because I don't like it, doesn't mean you shouldn't stick to your guns.
Well, no, that should give him more ammunition. Yeah.
I'm just saying a little bit of support from the team would be nice.
I'm just saying you said that Fri-yay was in the same whimsical family as puns.
It is. I'm saying the same sorts of people who would enjoy one should be on board with the other.
Well, we're telling you two out of the three do not.
Why are you tearing this country apart, Allie?
Okay.
Seriously.
Divisive, apologies. Yeah.
Hey, we got a huge show today, and I hope our producer Dave, the King of Mexico, is listening because we're going to need a ruling on whether we're allowed to say about the thing that we're going to give away today, if we're allowed to make that announcement yet, because I don't know the specifics. You guys know what I'm talking about.
I do, because you also teased it a little before. In the 5 a.m.
Okay. But I need to find out if we're allowed to say the thing.
If we all feel like it's can we talk about the thing,
mm-hmm.
it's better to err on the side of safety
mm-hmm.
and not talk about the thing.
Well, that's why I want Dave to weigh in. That's why I want Dave to let us know when we get to that point in the
podcast. Oh, no, don't mention it.
First, though, let's do a little You Be the Judge, shall we?
You be the judge right now. You can be the judge right now. You be the judge.
Here comes the judge.
You be the judge right now. Come on now and be the judge.
All right. Allie, Mike, Beer Mug, you have all been sworn in. I am always fascinated by stories, high-profile crimes in the news, convictions are made or deals are pled to, and I'm always fascinated to see what the sentence is going to be on a particular crime and then decide whether I agree with it or not and whether you guys think it's fair and just as well. This is the story. Mike, you probably talked about it on your AM show. Allie, you remember we discussed it here. This is a story about a woman named Mona Lisa Perez who lives in Minnesota. And she and her boyfriend had a YouTube channel. His name was Pedro Riz. They had a YouTube channel where they did stunts, very popular YouTube channel. And they concocted one day that Mr. Ruiz was going to hold an encyclopedia against his chest. And then his girlfriend, Mona Lisa, about a foot away, was going to fire a shot from a 50 caliber Desert Eagle pistol to see if the bullet would go through the book. spoiler alert, it did. And he died. Mm. The bullet passed right through the book. He fell mortally wounded. She called 911, said we were doing a YouTube video. It went wrong. And then that was it. So she was arrested and charged with second degree manslaughter. Yeah. Obviously was not her intention to kill her boyfriend.
Yeah.
She was doing it because they were doing a wacky YouTube video. In fact, and her defense brought this up, that she had spelled out her concerns on Twitter a few hours before the shooting, saying that, quote, me and Pedro are probably going to shoot one of the most dangerous videos ever. His idea, not mine. And that that was her defense in the court case, which was, look, it was his idea. He told me to do it. And I thought it was foolish at the time, and I let him know that, but I cooperated. So, she is 20. She is a mother of two. You have heard her defense. You heard how her boyfriend died. She has been sentenced to what?
2 years of probation with, I don't know, I'm going to stick with 2 years of probation.
So, no jail time, says Judge Catherwood.
Yeah.
That's right. What you're saying that's she should get?
That's not what I recommend in my world. I'm saying if I was a betting man, that's what I say she got.
All right, Miss Allie McKay. Judge McKay.
Is she white?
Well, she's Hispanic.
Okay.
So, yes.
She's Hispanic in Minnesota.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That she's might change
things. She's not Hispanic in, like, Boyle Heights.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Here's the thing. She's 20. Mm-hmm. She has two children.
Right.
Does she know better? Absolutely. If she was like a 10-year-old, I'd be like, you probably know better than to shoot someone, right? Mm-hmm. But a 20-year-old, you know better. So I am going to give her no jail time because I'm a judge and I'm not smart about these things. However, I would give her 5 years as Judge Allie. But judge in the story, he's going to give her no jail time and probably some probation.
So you agree with Mike, it sounds like.
And she's no longer allowed to post videos.
Ooh, no videos. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, Judge Beer Mug.
Yeah, just based on what she's saying, that it wasn't her idea and it was her boyfriend's. First of all, they're both morons. Okay, you're supposed to use a 38 caliber, not a 50.
22.
Wow. 22.
Like Knoxville.
Yeah. So, based on that alone, she should get 5 years in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Just for being an idiot. But she's probably going to, probably like 6 months of community service. That's
6 months
saying.
Community service is what you say. All right, here's the deal, you guys. 6 months in jail.
Oh.
That she can serve in 10-day increments. She will be on probation for 10 years and a lifetime ban on possessing a firearm or receiving any payment for telling her story about the shooting.
Okay.
So 6 months in jail is a little more than I think you guys were expecting.
Yeah. It was, but she gets to serve it broken up. Like I've had friends who have had crimes that are, you know, non-violent crimes, but they're still, you should know better.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to serve them like on weekends, like 30 weekends instead of.
And I suspect that's because she's 20 and has two kids, I would imagine, right? So.
And I'm guessing that the guy she put into a grave with a Desert Eagle was probably the father?
Doesn't say here, but that's, you could assume that.
You know, so that means that she's the sole parent now.
And right.
Although Allie's totally right. At 20, you should know better. Yeah. 20, still, she's a child.
She's a
you
kid.
Know?
Yeah.
No.
All right.
No. Yeah.
No,
the longer we keep saying these are children and blah, blah, blah.
20-year-olds are idiots, Allie.
Absolutely. You're not a child at 20. You are. You can serve your country 2 years prior. You're not a child. You know better. The longer we keep giving people excuses for bad behavior, the longer they're going to do it.
No, I don't necessarily feel like I'm not giving her any excuses, but I am saying that maybe a child. You're right. Maybe saying that she's a child is wrong because you're right. I mean, in the eyes of the law, she's an adult.
She shot someone, knowing full well that she could kill him.
See, I think that some people are so blind to reality that I don't think she kind of... I think she thought, oh, this is really a bad idea. It's dangerous.
Yeah, but I'm going to get a ton of likes on YouTube. Right. And you know what? Get a lobotomy. Those people need a lobotomy.
Because anyone
I have no time.
Anyone who had any... I'm certainly not like a ballistics expert.
What?
But anyone who has any idea...
Why are you back on the show phone? Then?
Anybody who has any idea... About, I mean, truly, any clue about firearms knows a Desert Eagle might go through Tevlar.
Really?
Let alone an encyclopedia.
Well, I think she deferred. Look, we got to move on. But I think she deferred to her boyfriend as being the person who did the research on the stunt, since he was going to be on the receiving end of the bullet. And I think that's what that was his fatal mistake, I should say, is that she listened to him.
Yeah.
So she's dumb. We can all agree.
Wait,
on
what's
that.
His name, Rudy?
No. It was Pedro. Oh, let's okay. Talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
In America, you should be ashamed.
You certainly should. Everyone's bracket is busted as a result of last night.
No.
Yours is still alive?
You didn't pick Arizona?
Oh, I did. No, not for even, I don't think, Sweet 16.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm doing great, you guys.
And you are in the minority because over 60% of people picked them in the Sweet 16, I think. So... We'll talk about the tournament, obviously, today. And Allie has some pro tips for you. It's not too late to get in on her system of picking how, you know, you don't know any of these teams. Mm-mm. Allie's got a way to help you out. Also, I love this topic. I'm very excited. We've never done this before. Awkward I love yous on the Kevin and Bean show today. Look, it's very rare that both people are ready at the exact moment to say I love you to one another in a new relationship. It's hilarious when somebody says it and the other person doesn't know what to say back. We all have stories like that, and we'll be taking yours. That is coming up. We're going to talk to a guy I have so much respect for, a 20-year-old Southern Californian who has made it his mission to interview as many World War II veterans as he can while they're still alive. 20, he's doing that, by the way. He's just a kid, Allie. He's just a kid. Also, keep it 100 because it's Friday on the program today. We got a brand new internet roundup. And did we hear from Dave? We're allowed to say the thing?
Dave, are we allowed to say the thing? Are you here?
Sure, why not? Wait, what thing?
The thing you were giving away.
Didn't you say it already?
No. Yeah, you did in a taped
sort of,
thing.
Sort of. Not the full details.
You already said it, so just say it.
We're going to discuss and get back to you. Allie's got what's happening next right after this on K-Rock.
It's Kevin and Bean.
K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
See, this is why I didn't go on the air with it, Allie, is because Dave Smart. Is like mixing it up, changing things on the fly.
You're right.
No, but yes. No.
Jack White, you guys, who's maybe my favorite current musical artist right now. Just love everything about him. Very excited that his new album is available today, finally. And he's coming to town next week, and we have him in the HD Radio Sound Space here at K-Rock.
Wait, believe I thought his not. Album came out March 23rd.
That's a week from today, isn't it? Darn it. Okay. So next week, Jack White's album will be coming out. And as part of the promotion for that, he's coming to town, and he'll be here at the HD Radio Sound Space at K-Rock. And we are going to get you into that. How about that?
Nice.
Yeah. Win your way in to see the great Jack White in the 8 o'clock hour this morning here on K-Rock. Allie, what's happening?
I've got some other Jack White news. He's also going to do 3 intimate concerts to introduce his new album, Boarding House Reach, which comes out on March 23rd. He'll be at the Mayan in Los Angeles.
Yay!
Oh, yeah, on the 20th. That's next Tuesday. And you may be saying to yourself, Allie, how do I get tickets? Well, go to AXS.com at 9 o'clock. But the show is going to be...
A.M.?
Oh, yes. A.M.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. The show will be will call only, 2 tickets per customer by name. So that's one of those. Wow. You go up, you have your friend with you right there, then you go immediately in. They're not joking around. They're not going to let the, what are they called? People that sell tickets for a lot
scalpers.
Of
money.
Scalpers. They're not going to let them take over the show. And it's also going to be one of those shows where there's no filming, no photos, no nothing. Yeah. You are locking that bad boy up in a yonder pouch and call it a day. But more information at AXS.com. But again, the show is at the Mayan on Tuesday night. Doors open at 7 o'clock.
Jack Michael, White. Michael, you're a guitar player.
Yes.
How do you rate Jack White?
Technically, he's not the most, clean player, but I think that's what makes him so special. He's wildly innovative, and even if you've never picked up a guitar, you hear a new song and you go, "Oh, that's Jack White." You know, that's White Stripes, yeah. Or that's Jack White. That's the Raconteurs. He has such a unique and identifiable sound, and that's really awesome.
Yeah, agreed. Hey, you guys want some St. Patrick's Day fun facts?
Yes,
sure. I love fun facts.
I know you do. 60% of Americans plan to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, which is tomorrow. Of those, 83% plan to wear green. 13 million pints of Guinness will be consumed worldwide on St. Patrick's Day.
I'm sorry. For a second, I thought you said 13 million pints.
I said 13 million pints.
Wow.
Of Guinness will be consumed. That's worldwide. But still.
Still.
Are you kidding me? It's
that's insane. Everyone in L.A. County having a pint. That's insane.
Which we should. Not you, because you are sober, but others should. There's a 70% increase in cabbage shipments during St. Patrick's Week. 33.1 million U.S. residents claim Irish ancestry. That's about 7 times the current population of Ireland. And Irish is the second most frequently reported European ancestry behind German. Here's something interesting. What would you think would be the top 5 most popular drinking days here in America?
Possibly a night. There'd be a full moon there about night, and it should be bright out, and there could anyone go up in the mountains about night, sure.
Correct.
Incorrect, sir. No, that was wrong, Mike.
Well, I'm going to say, obviously, St. Paddy's Day.
What would that rank? 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5?
2.
2? No. St. Patrick's Day is 4th.
Really?
4th. I know. Shocking.
In L.A.?
No, this is in America.
Oh.
That makes a difference, because Cinco de Mayo was right at the top of my list, but then I was like, not in Minnesota.
No, again, so that was...
If I can play, I will say El Super Bowl would be number one.
El Super Bowl doesn't make the top 5.
I'm going to say New Year's Mother Effin' Eve.
You would be Mother Effin' correct. Yeah. That is the number one drinking day here in the old U.S. of A. We're missing 2, 3, and 5.
Wow. July 4th.
4th of July is 3rd, above St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. That's a surprise.
Halloween.
Well, because alcohol and fireworks is a good combination for the 4th of July.
You're saying Halloween.
Yeah, for all the Halloween parties where people get S-faced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's almost always a weekday.
And it's you mostly think of kids.
That sounds like a no.
Yeah, that's a no on the top 5.
All right. How about, I don't think this is on there, but we're running out of holidays. How about Valentine's Day?
No.
Oh,
also,
no.
I do a lot of drinking on Valentine's Day.
What was I thinking? Christmas Eve.
Christmas,
okay.
Is number 2. So we've got New Year's Eve at number 1, Christmas at number 2, 4th of July at number 3, St. Patrick's Day, number 4, and number 5...
Arbor Day.
What'd you say?
Arbor Day.
Oh, I'm going to redeem myself. Mardi Gras.
You are not redeeming yourself, because is that a holiday?
Well, Fat Tuesday.
Here in America? No.
I suck.
All right, what's another holiday we're missing, you guys?
And Thanksgiving.
You are correct,
Thanksgiving.
Mike.
Thanksgiving.
Are correct.
Red wine, white wine, all will be drank.
Seriously, with that man not doing that movie. Unacceptable. Unacceptable.
Yeah, you got room for the Death Wish remake, but
right?
No Thanksgiving?
Come on.
This is holiday season. Prepare to have the stuffing scared out of you.
Although the night before Thanksgiving, when you're all visiting your local bars in your hometowns, looking over at Jenny that you used to bang in high school, and you're like, damn, Jenny's looking rough. But then by the end of the night, you're like, might as well. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
That happens.
I think about that about Scott.
Dark meat. All will be carved.
Some birthdays for you. actress Alexandra Daddario.
Oh.
I know. Beautiful woman. Actress Lauren Graham. Actors Victor Garber, Alan Tudyk, and Eric Estrada. And that's what's happening.
It's Kevin and Bean.
K-U-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Spock, sabotage the system. Spock, restore the atmosphere. Spock, sabotage the system. I wish I knew what to do. Observations, Mr. Spock.
Okay, can you have line 193 again with sabotage and sabotage?
I don't say sabotage. You say sabotage. I say sabotage.
Captain is a baller, isn't he?
Friday morning, Kevin and Bean show. Allie, you're feeling pretty good about your bracket right now.
I really am.
And you should be.
Thank you, Bean. Thank you.
How many people in the look? There's it's hard to find an office in America that doesn't have a pool for March Madness. How many people in the K Rock pool?
There were supposed to be 12, but wow, Beer Mug forgot to do it.
Yeah,
until too late. So we're working on 11 right now in
All
the
right.
pool.
Are you leading so far?
I am just under a guy named Taylor. I believe he's one of the van drivers here.
Okay.
But I had 13 out of 16 correct picks yesterday.
That seems real good.
For someone that knows nothing about basketball, I'd say it's pretty, pretty good.
This is why I wanted to talk about that. And I know it's I know it's said so commonly that it has no impact anymore, but oftentimes the person who wins the office March Madness pool is a person who knows nothing about basketball, and they pick based on the cities they like or the uniforms they like, right, or they know a guy with the same name as a coach, you know, whatever the reason is. And it's so interesting to me to see the way that sometimes, you know, those people will beat Cousin Sal in a pool. Like, how is it even right. possible that happens? So what's your strategy when you're looking at dozens of teams about which you know next to nothing?
Thanks for asking, Bean. Here's the thing. I love sports. Basketball, just for some reason, never really got into it. Mm-hmm. And I know that my college had has a basketball team. I believe went to the Elite Eight maybe one year. That's great. I do know that we beat Duke this year in December, which
Queen
was
Chicago.
Huge. Yeah. Other than that, don't know anything. So, colors you like, I get that. Mascots you like, I get that. I pick teams with even the most remote personal attachments to me. But let's start off first. I went to Catholic school my whole life. I went to a Jesuit college, Boston College. So I'm going with the Xaviers, the Gonzagas, Seton Hall, Loyola, Chicago. Those are Catholic or Jesuit institutions.
Yes.
Okay.
Right?
That makes sense.
I do
Pull
it
for your own.
Do it for God. And I sure. believe all of them have gone on. Maybe Seton Hall hasn't played, have they? Or no, they did.
Hey, you're the expert here.
Sure. No, I'm not. I don't even know who plays. I just have Christine texting me like, you're in the lead. I'm like, yay, did it start? So Catholic schools, great. And then I do things with, you know, the personal attachment. Dated a guy at Villanova. I've got them going to the finals because he was a good dude. You know what I'm saying?
I think we understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Powerful.
Yeah.
So he gets the job done, so you feel like his team must as well.
He had some skills.
Understood,
But they're not going to win it. But
how
I
was he
do...
under the rim, Allie? Do you remember?
Oh, wow. Hey now.
Jeez.
Pretty Basketball.
Good.
He's
Pretty
talking,
good.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He played some pickup ball. What? Or maybe I did. Let's move on.
Could he dunk?
Also, Butler. Dated a guy at Butler.
Oh.
Yeah, you did.
Great dude.
Put the butt in Butler.
Right. Know what I'm saying? And then I like schools like a Murray State. And you say, why, Allie? Where's that school? No idea.
Kentucky, I believe.
But I loved reading the book Tuesdays with Maury, which sounds like Murray. So I went with
wow.
Murray State.
Hey, yeah. Let's not forget Murray on Flight of the Conchords. We all loved
oh,
him.
Sure.
So that's a reason enough right
Absolutely.
There to root for that team.
Right there. You know I don't like Duke because I do know when Boston College played them that I found out about Trippy McDougal, the
yes.
guy that trips everyone, Grayson Allen. So I did have them winning this round, and then they move on, and they're going to play Rhode Island. I picked Rhode Island because I don't like Duke, but also because in college I went to a strip club once in Rhode Island, and the whole Patriots team was there. And I was like, this is the best. So Rhode Island is
So they're
awesome.
A good luck charm for you,
Absolutely.
Rhode Island.
However, Rhode Island is then going to take on Michigan State in the next round. I look really good in green.
You do.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. Thanks. So
tomorrow's a big day for you.
It's going to be huge. It's huge for my people, huge for me.
That's a great way to pick a team to win a basketball game is because you look good in their color.
Well, yeah, but they aren't going to get past Kansas because I like Kansas. They're the ones that are the Rock Chalk Jayhawk, right?
That's them, yes.
Yeah, I like them because my friend Chris Porter is from Kansas, and he always wears those shirts, and he's just super into it. So I'd like for Chris to be happy.
You put a lot of time into your bracket this year.
I really did. I really did. And then what's the final one? Oh, Cincinnati. A lot of people think they're going to go really far. A lot of people think they might actually win it. I don't have them going to the Final Four, and the only reason is because I can't with Bearcat. I love bears. Bears are one of my favorite animals. Mm-hmm. Cats, one of my least favorite animals. So I have them on the strength of the bear going to the Elite Eight. But because of the drawback of the cat not going to the Final Four.
Gotcha.
Just making a lot of sense right now.
Thank you. Thank you. So Villanova in the Final Four, Kansas in the Final Four, Gonzaga Final Four, and then just out of nowhere, Virginia, no tie, but I like really like older names like a Jane or a Mary. So Virginia is such a lovely older name.
It's an old person's name.
Yeah, it reminds me of Nana, and it's a good name. So I have them winning it all.
This is making insanely good sense to me.
Thank you so much.
By the way, Dave weighs in, and Dave's a huge basketball fan, mm-hmm. but has been in awe of your bracket. He would like to point out, Allie, what you just said about cats.
Mm-hmm.
How about the Arizona Wildcats already out? Biggest upset of the tournament so far. Boom.
That was one of my three missed picks yesterday. However, I didn't have them getting past Kentucky, so mm-hmm. I didn't have them as far as other people did, so they got screwed with that. But hey, I was like, Kentucky's not going to...
Over 50% of the brackets, by the way, got busted just by Rhode Island beating Oklahoma. So you knew what you were talking about there for sure.
Thank you.
All right, so pay attention to Allie, you guys. If it's not too late to get in where you work, you might want to check it out. So you got you have who win it all? So
Virginia playing Villanova. So the dude's skills weren't that good, is what I'm saying. Because Nana wins.
Nana wins.
Nana wins.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock. Radio.com.
I'm glad the king is here, our producer. It's time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Internet Roundup. Better turn your sound up. Internet Roundup on KRock.com. Internet Roundup. No. Better turn your sound up. Internet Roundup on KevinandBean.com.
New batch of fun viral videos all in one place at KevinandBean.com or KRock.com. One you definitely need to check out is I guess it could be considered a road rage incident. In Florida, a guy runs into another person's car and then tries to get away, even though his car is badly damaged. But the other motorists at the intersection decide they don't want him to get away. So they get out and try to get in front of his car, try to stop his car, banging on his car, then start trying to smash out his windows with a hammer.
Okay.
Only in Florida would you see something like that.
Yeah, that guy was high and was trying to do a hit and run. And a guy came out with a sledgehammer hitting his windows.
Yeah, yeah. No word, by the way, on whether those people who attacked his vehicle are also going to be charged from their participation in that video. But they were trying to stop him from getting away with a hit and run. So it's a crazy video. You definitely need to check that out. Also, if you ever wanted to see someone solve a Rubik's Cube in less than 4/10 of a second.
What?
You definitely want to check out this internet roundup as well. All right, here's a lady on, we got some audio for you. Here's a lady on a subway car. Where is she? Do we know? Is this in New York? Does it not matter?
That doesn't matter.
She's on a subway car, and she is delighted to realize she's the only passenger on the train. So she pulls out her phone and starts singing her little heart out. And at some point, and you'll hear this in the song that she's making up as she goes, she realizes, oops, there is somebody else on the train car with me. It's pretty funny.
I'm on a train car by myself. Nobody's on the train car with me.
It's just me and me and nobody in the seat. I put my butt in the seat cause it's just me. And this is my stop short video. I'm gonna get off the train that I'm on alone. Gonna pick up my bag that's sitting in the seat on the train cause it's just me. Oh my God, I just realized there's another person on the train. You have a good day.
Would you guys do that if you were by yourself in a train car? Would you sing? And
absolutely. But the best is when she gets off the train, then she walks up to the window and just kind of shows the guy for a split second and just starts killing herself laughing. So good.
It's awesome. Jimmy Kimmel, speaking of killing it, has just been great on late nights. He's on fire right now, and his little on-the-street tape pieces kill me, and this is a great one. He talked to little kids in New York and Los Angeles about which city was best, which city was smartest, and these kids, well, they had some real thoughts on the subject.
Who's smarter, kids in New York or kids in L.A.?
Kids in L.A.
How come?
Because they know a lot about shopping.
What's the smartest thing you know?
That my sisters suck.
Can you name all the planets?
Volcano, volcano, dinosaur land.
New York.
Mercy.
Lava mountain. Mountains. Even house.
There's one more.
New York.
Yeah, but you already said that one.
Trees.
Can you name the planets?
Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, and Uranus. Not the planet.
Not the planet?
No, the planet, not the butt.
I love that kid. And I love the kid who instantly came up with Planet Volcano and Planet Trees.
Yeah. Dinosaur Town.
Right.
Dinosaur Town is a very popular planet. Well, it is big news for a lot of people that the Toys R Us chain is going out of business. They are declaring bankruptcy and they're going to start selling off their assets. I did not grow up in the United States, so I do not have that warm, fuzzy love that a lot of people have for Toys R Us. But how about you guys? Was it an important place for y'all when you were growing up as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
The
smell, it had like this certain smell, like new toys that I've never smelled anywhere else.
And just the theme song. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
It was sadness for me because I couldn't afford anything there.
A lot of people are chalking this up to just, you know, the ease of buying something online. You know, you go to Amazon and buy almost anything you can get at Toys R Us. But others are saying, look, there was an experience there. It was fun to go to Toys R Us. It was fun to be immersed in that experience and seeing thousands of toys and get to play with them. And it was really, really an experience that is not replicated by shopping online. And it's funny you bring up the jingle, Allie, because I think this is a fitting tribute to Toys R Us. Chase Hoffelder, and I've seen a lot of his videos before, one of the things that he does is he sings songs in a minor key, and it makes them very, very sad. And you're probably going to tear up when you hear that Toys R Us jingle sung in a minor key by Chase. Check it out.
I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. There's a million toys at Toys R Us that I could play with. Bikes and trains to video games. It was the biggest toy store there is.
Gee whiz.
I don't want to grow up. Because if I did, I wouldn't be a Toys R Us kid.
Come on.
Okay. That's amazing.
I still wanna be a Toys R Us.
Wait for it.
Kid.
Pretty sad, right?
If you just change the lyrics to like, I can't live without you because that would be like the biggest hit for Ed Sheeran, you know, or Sam Smith.
That's a nice fitting tribute to Toys R Us, R.I.P. You can find that video and all the rest right now at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Internet Roundup on kevinandbean.com.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock.
It was one of the darkest days in the U.S. Space program history when the Challenger blew up. A lot of people listening right now are too young to even remember it or maybe even have heard about it, but it was a little over 30 years ago. NASA put up a craft called the Challenger, and about a minute and a half into its flight, it exploded, killing all seven crew members on board. Allie, it was devastating at the time.
Absolutely. Because so many schools, because there was a teacher in it, so many schools were watching it live in elementary school, in junior high, in high school, watching it, seeing this teacher going up into space.
Yep. And they did eventually, if I recall correctly, they did, you know, they picked up the wreckage and did an investigation and eventually found out what the problem was, what the mechanical problem was. And it was written off to that and it was corrected and it hadn't happened again. So that's why this story was such a surprise, that someone came forward this week and claimed, I hate to say credit, because that's, you know, makes it sound like a positive, but they said, we're the ones responsible for bringing down the Challenger, which doesn't even seem possible that there could have been an outside group somehow involved in that, because it was a NASA deal, right?
Yeah.
But this is a Turkish sect, and I don't know if they're doing it just for publicity or what, but Ahmet Yasin Bersevi says the cause of the explosion of the space shuttle was the slackening of the cap screws by members of the order that he represents, the Nasquibandis. So claiming credit for blowing up the Challenger, which is an oddball thing to hear in 2018.
Yeah.
I find it very difficult to believe, but let's see if it pans out. Is this Ahmet Yasin Bersevi?
Good morning, decadent American pigs.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, I'm very disturbed by this news that has come out that you had anything to do with the space shuttle.
Sorry? What can I say? I mean, it's my job, disasters, you know, my friend?
Why, after all this time, are you claiming that you did this?
Well, you know, with the YouTube and the kids and the Twitter and the Instagram, it's like I want to start to get a little bit of action, you know, a little bit of backing. So I'm starting to take credit for some of my disasters, because that's what I do, eh?
Okay, so you're like clickbait, where you just make stuff up so that you can get eyes on your channel.
Make stuff up? No, no, no. I'm just finally starting to take credit for things I was once humble for. You know, that is my way. I'm not arrogant and brash like you American pigs. I like to be humble and modest. But, you know, now is the time in day and age of 2018, I start to take credit and show everybody how great I am at disasters.
All right, nothing great about the Challenger, but what else have you been behind, if you don't mind me asking?
I was the Dodgers pitching coach for the 2018 World Series.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Oh, Dave Roberts, pitch you Darvish. It's great. Clayton Kershaw standing right there looking at me like, what, are you crazy?
That was a disaster.
I did wonder about that decision, but now it makes sense.
I'm Larry King's marriage counselor.
Because he's been divorced like
seven
times.
I'm also Tommy Lee's family therapist.
Bananas.
You know, bro?
He's got problems with his kids.
He's the dad. The kid come in, punch him in the face. It's fantastic. I'm Vin Diesel's acting coach.
Oh, well, stop it.
I live life quarter mile at a time. That was all me.
That was you, huh? How about that?
You have to.
Beer Mug's nutritionist.
Oh, no.
Beer Mug's nutritionist. You're responsible for that disaster?
Is there a bigger disaster than that? Come on.
How dare you?
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock. Dave, what are you doing for St. Patrick's Day this weekend? Usually a guy who likes to party, but you're also in the competition for March Fatness, so you can't drink like you normally might on a holiday weekend.
Well, St. Patrick's Day to me is one of the worst nights to go out. So my girlfriend is having a birthday party, conveniently, and I'll be there.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
How are you gonna handle the drinking though? I think because of March Fatness as well.
Oh, you know, Mike gave me the tip of vodka and soda water, so that's what's happening.
What you're going for. How about you, Muggs? You dialing it down for the holiday weekend? St. Patrick's Day is coming and going. You're not gonna be able to load up on the beer like you usually do.
Guinness, Muggs.
I don't want to talk about it because I love Guinness so much, and I love Bailey's, and I love everything about St. Patrick's Day food and fare.
You can do like a Jameson and Diet Coke.
That's boring.
You're boring.
God.
Remember,
Mike, this is what you're dealing with, trying to corral these two.
It's
tortoises
trying to corral
and
both of them, yes.
You guys remember when Muggs woke up in a bush?
Yeah.
I do.
Mm-hmm. On the 18th?
That was a great St. Patrick's Day. Yeah. All right, well, listen.
I'm in a bush.
The reason we're all here today is Dave brought up a fascinating topic that I don't think we've ever discussed on the Kevin and Bean Show. And that is that awkward moment when one person in the couple is ready to say those three words and the other person doesn't know what to say because they don't feel the same way, perhaps, or they're too scared to say it back. And I'm talking about, give me some butt. No, yeah. I'm talking about I love you. So one person says I love you, and then the other person, if they're not quite there yet, it's kind of awkward. That really leaves it hanging, right?
Yeah.
Dave, how did this come up?
Well, we were at dinner with some friends, and we were telling the story of how Krista forced me to say I love you to her in front of Nicole Alvarez. She was screaming at me at Lollapalooza, saying, why won't you say it back to me? And then I was like, I was, but in a private moment. And then one of our other friends was like, wow, let me tell you about this time I was dating this guy, and I dropped him off after a date, and he ran back to the car, knocked on the window, and goes, I gotta say it, I love you. And she goes, okay, thanks, and drove right off. And I was like, oh, man, that's such a burn.
Do you have to say it if someone says it?
Oh, well, no.
You don't, but that's the point. It's like, what? Like, you get so flustered by it, and the response is, are crazy.
Well, I think, and I want to hear what you have to say about this, Allie, from the lady perspective, but I do think that what you're hoping for with I love you is serendipity. You're hoping that this is the magic moment that the two of you are the mind meld and you're going in the same direction at the same time, and you want and I love you back. I can't think of anything other than I love you back that works in that moment. Anything else is awkward, even if it's I'm flattered or if it's thank you or
I'm flattered.
Well, I mean, what can you possibly say if you're not willing to say I love you? What can you say that's not awkward in that moment?
Nice.
Yeah. New phone. Who dis?
Duh.
What do you think, Allie?
Listen, I am not the one to say I love you first. Ever, because I am so, it's one of my biggest flaws is I'm too prideful and I would not put it out there first. However,
because you're afraid that you would be, that he wouldn't feel that way yet, and you would be embarrassed that you felt that way first.
Yeah, I don't want it. I don't need it. But I have had men say, I love you first. And I always want to say, I know. And just pull a total Empire Strikes Back moment on him. But I don't do that. But I did have one boyfriend that said, I love you, and it was way too soon. And my response was, aw. And that was it. That's all. It's all I could muster, which is awful. But it's just, it comes down to communication and kind of knowing when's the right time. But you
they think that is the right time.
Right, but you ultimately never truly know if it is the right time for the other person. It's just you have to put yourself out there and be vulnerable.
And did you go out with him again after that?
Oh, yeah, we wound up dating for another, 6 months.
And was it weird just being like, okay, you said it, and he's waiting for it to come back?
It became a joke.
Oh, no.
He would tell his friends, hey, ask her what she said when I finally said I love you. And they're like, what? And I said, aw.
It's like, oh, boner killer.
I mean, look, somebody has to go first in that situation. And I guess it's a question of A, reading the room, but B, being the person who's, it sounds like, Allie, you're never the person who's willing to put your heart on the line and take the risk of getting hurt, right?
I mean, look how well it's served me, you guys. Yeah, right. I'm doing great.
But isn't it usually the guys who say it first because they're the ones who are rushing to secure a girlfriend or a partner? And aren't they the ones who usually say it first?
Oh, now that's an interesting. I hadn't thought about who usually says it first.
Because, like Allie said, the girls are usually waiting for the guys to say it so they could either jump back at, yes, I love you back, or bounce. You know, that's their out.
That's my experience.
What's your experience, Mike?
I'm always the perpetrator of awkward I love you, not the victim.
What responses have you heard back from I love you?
No, I mean, I'm the one doing the response. Like, I'm the girl will say, I wait, because I'm not saying that. I mean, I may mean it, but if I get to the point where I definitely mean it, like, we're engaged or something, you know?
It's serious.
And they'll say, I love you. And I go, whoa, listen, that's, Listen, that's great, and I feel very strongly about you, but I'm a damaged guy, and there's problems there. I don't think we're there yet, right. And I just want to establish that.
But so I you can fix you.
You feel like you've got it out. You feel like you can couch it with, hey, I'm damaged, therefore you shouldn't expect me to reciprocate right now.
Yeah, and I don't try to say, like, and I'm just trying to keep my options open. I feel very strongly about you, and we're clearly very into each other, but I don't know if it's appropriate for us to go there yet, you know. Yeah. I just try to hit it head on, you know.
Yeah. Take some calls on this, by the way, at 1-800-520-1067. If you have a thought on this, or you have a story where you've been on either end of the I love you conversation, we want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. How do you feel about my go-to? You know, it happens all the time. A lady will fall in love with me.
Sure.
How do they not? So they're like, Bean, I love you. And my answer is, who doesn't?
Yeah. Nice.
Right?
Nice.
Solid.
And then wink and do the finger shooters?
I do the finger gun, yeah.
Good.
Hey, let's talk to Alice real quick. Santa Clarita, line one. Up first here on the Kevin DeBean Show, 1-800-520-1067. Alice, you're hearing the I love you stories. Remind you of something in your own life, perhaps?
Yeah, it does. So when I was first dating my husband, we're married now, so it all turns out good in the end. But when we were first dating, he was the first one to say, I love you. And so we were in bed together, and I got so freaked out that I kicked him out.
Yeah! Like out of your apartment or out of the bed?
Like out of the bed and then out of the apartment, because I got, like, we were talking, and I was just like, I can't handle this right now, and I feel really bad, but, you know, it all turned out really good in the end.
Well, that's good. I'm glad there's a happy ending. So you were fine with having sex with the dude, just not with having him tell you he loved you.
Yeah.
All right. I'm glad it worked out, Alice. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Evelyn, you hang on. Rachel, Matthew, we'll get to all your calls next on K-Rock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Awkward I love yous is the topic on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. He or she says it to you, and you just don't know what to say back in response. Let's go to Evelyn Montebello, ahead of the Lumineers. Hey, Evelyn. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. What happened?
Hey, party people. So I am in Vegas with my girlfriends, and I'm talking to some guy, and he actually goes to Vegas with his buddies. And so we're, you know, this is our second date, and we're in the middle of, you know, getting it on. And he
and you said what to him?
Shut up.
No!
I think that's the appropriate response.
Yes.
Two dates? Come on.
Yeah.
He is now my boyfriend, and we've been together for 8 years.
Excellent.
How about that?
Excellent years. Turnaround. I like
Happy
it.
Happy ending in more ways than one. All right, Evelyn, thank you for the call.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. They're idiots.
Your Kevin and Bean, Queen V, says on Twitter, he said, I love you. I pretended I didn't hear it. Relationship did not last. Let me ask you this question for the room here.
Mm-hmm.
If your partner, your significant other, the person you're dating, whoever, says, I love you, and you're not ready to say it back, which is what they're hoping for,
mm-hmm.
What do you recommend? What should we have a default in our back pocket that we can use that is effective and is not hurtful and will not let the other person down, or let the other person down as gently as possible?
And maybe as simple as, oh, my God, I appreciate that so much that you were that forthcoming. That is awesome. I'm not quite there yet, and I hope to be with you, but thank you. That means so much to me.
That sounds very sincere the way you say that.
Yeah, I'm full of crap because I ain't bailing.
How about not?
Not.
That's a good one, too. All right, we're taking your calls. If you've been in this situation, 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Rachel. She's on line 3, Redondo Beach, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Rachel, thank you so much for listening. Happy Friday. What's going on?
Hey, so I was with an ex-boyfriend, and we're laying in bed one afternoon, and he looks at me, and he goes, I love you. And I wasn't ready to say it back, so I just gave him a tight squeeze, a tight hug, and he goes, did you hear me? And I go, yeah, I heard you. And we broke up a few months later.
Oh.
Again, it's such an awkward position to be put in.
Did you
not
hear
because
me?
The other person intends it to be, but if you're not there yet, what are you supposed to do?
Just pretend
hug
you're
it
asleep.
Out.
Hug it out. Yeah. Exactly. All right. Thank you, Rachel. Appreciate you listening. Let's go to Matthew Torrance, line 4. Hey, Matthew, what's going on, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. Morning. Allie, I love you.
I love you. See how easy that was?
Easy. It's easy,
so
guys.
Easy.
So I took a break with a girlfriend for about 6 months, and then we got back together, and 3 weeks in, we were laying in bed after doing the deed, and she rolled over and said, I love you, and I said, oh, that's cool.
Oh,
that's cool.
That's what she was hoping
cool
for.
It
got really awkward really quickly.
Mm. Yeah, I bet it did. How'd it work out after that? Were you able to recover?
No, we broke up like a month later, maybe.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate it. I hope you and Allie have a better time together. Isn't it interesting how many of these stories involve I love you being said right after sex?
Yeah, I usually cry after sex.
Yeah.
I find that really sets the tone. Oh!
Try Rick in Santa Ana. He's up next, line two. Hey, Rick, we're talking about awkward I love yous on the Kevin and Bean Show. You got a story for us?
Oh, yeah, man. Hey, thanks for taking my call. And I'm with the other guy. Allie, you're awesome. I met somebody off of a hookup site while I was still married and wound up hitting it off. And a couple of months later, I said, I love you. But I said I knew it the very first night when I first kissed her, mm-hmm. which gave her a shiver. But this was off a hookup site, and both her and I were still married, unfortunately.
That's
wait,
healthy.
Hold on a second.
None of this sounds
here.
Good, Rick. Yeah. What's happening? Yeah.
So wait, you were married and you met her on a hookup site. Was she also married at the time?
We met off a site called, I probably shouldn't drop names, but it was called fling.com. Yeah, we were both still married.
Okay, and now you're married to each other?
Yes, we are.
And how's that going?
That's going wonderfully. We both have kids from a prior marriage, but mm-hmm. We both get to hang out a lot with them. And we traveled. We went on a honeymoon in Italy. It was awesome.
How about that? Are you both still cheating on your partners?
They both still have accounts.
Oh, heck no, we both learned our lesson, and there was a reason why both of us were there. It was it's pretty cool though. But when I first said I loved you, that she was like, "Well, when did you know?" And I go, "First day."
How
she
about
goes,
that?
Well, that's just, she told me. She goes, "That's just wrong." And I go, "Well, you know what? I had a feeling right then, and you had a shiver when I kissed you." So
I didn't expect the happiest story to come from this guy. Did you?
Yeah. Right.
All right, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Let's squeeze in a couple more. Let's try Matt. Line one, Santa Rosa. Hey, Matt, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. Love calling in. I'm glad Mike's back on. But a quick story. I was dating this girl. It recently ended, but I was dating her in, well, like 2 to 3 weeks in, and she dropped the I love you after we're just, you know, like hanging out in a nice, intimate moment. My response was, well, you should. I'm awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I didn't know what else to say. And so then the relationship went on, and then a couple of weeks later we're drinking and she's still hitting with the I love you, and then while we're drinking I said, oh, I love you too, because it was just like out of habit, like a response.
Uh-huh.
It took me like 3 weeks of backpedaling off that. Look, I was drinking, I didn't really mean it, I like you, but I don't feel that way. And it went from she wanted to move in to her, I'm the biggest, most horrible person ever, which I'm still quite proud of. But,
well,
yeah,
I mean, you should. I'm awesome. It's hard to pull that one off. I mean, I can understand why she has some reservations about you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm a kid.
All right.
Guy.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate the call.
You guys, I just came up with the best idea.
Oh, good. We need it.
Someone says, I love you. You're not ready to say it back. Everyone loves to high five.
Yeah.
So if you're just like, high five.
Pow.
Pow. Done.
High five.
Oh,
it's not bad.
Thank you. It
kind of makes it sound like you support it without actually having to say you support it.
I think if you're a guy, a mm-hmm. great one is, no, you think you love me, but you don't know the real me.
Ew. I'd puke.
Yeah. Right, let's do one more. Let's make it Eliza West Covina line three. Let's determine whether this is effective or not. Eliza, we're going to give you the last call on this one. Thank you very much for dialing in.
So you kind of just told my story. I was dating this guy for a few months. I really, really liked him. And I told him I loved him. And he laughed in my face and said, love me? You don't even know me.
Yeah!
Oh, no.
You're kidding. I didn't even know that was part of the story. Oh, no.
Yeah.
And all right, so Mike brought that up as the solution. Was it the solution? Did that work for you?
Well, it's about 8 years later and we're married. So.
Come on!
Look at that! All right, a lot of happy endings on this story. Thank you, Eliza. Appreciate the call on K-Rock.
I love you!
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock.
Rishi Sharma is 20 years old. He runs a nonprofit called Heroes of the Second World War. He is on a mission to do film interviews with 2 to 3 World War II combat veterans every single day as fast as he can before they're all gone. How's that for a way to spend your time?
That's
huh? Very much looking forward to talking to Mr. Sharma coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, Friday morning. Allie, what's happening?
Well, on Friday mornings around this time, I like to play our picks for our Spotify playlist.
Oh, and
if you don't, if you don't know what that is, we have our own Spotify playlist. It's called That's My Jam. You can find a link to it on all of our social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Kevin and Bean. And every week, everyone on the morning show picks a song from an artist that maybe we've loved for a long time. We've just been getting back into songs by them, or a brand new song. Just something that we've been super into that we don't play on K-Rock, because contrary to popular belief, we do not pick the songs here that we play during the Kevin and Bean show. So it's just kind of a way to get to know everybody's musical tastes on the show, as well
and
as
we do,
maybe...
We do live in a playlist world, too.
Oh, sure.
If you can find a curated playlist of songs without you having to do the work and go out and find them all, and it's consistently entertaining, that's just a kind of a cool thing to have in your back pocket when you need some music.
Absolutely. And we update it every single week. Again, it's called That's My Jam. All the links at Kevin and Bean, so you can follow along and get new music updated weekly. So follow us. And first up, the monkey isn't here, but he did send in a pick. He is back on Monday, but his pick is Eminem's Chloroseptic.
Now, I gotta ask.
Oh, by the way, that's the remix. That's featuring 2 Chainz and Fresher.
Okay.
Yes.
Eminem is Kevin's son, so
yes.
Is that fair to pick a family member to put up on the playlist?
I have talked to him about that, and he's like, not a lot of people know he's really my kid.
It just seems like nepotism to me.
Yeah, it is. It is indeed. Bean, you are up next.
James Bay is back with a new album coming out in May called Electric Light. You may have heard his music here on K-Rock before. Hold Back the River was one of his songs. He was in a few weeks ago on the Cat Corbett Show. What an entertaining and fun dude he sounds like. And I love both of the new songs that I have heard from James Bay's forthcoming album. You may have just seen him as the musical guest on Saturday Night Live last weekend with Sterling K. Brown as the host. And this is one of the songs he did there that I love. It's called Pink Lemonade. I feel like that's someone you would enjoy too, Allie. It's got a little 80s feeling to
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Emphasis again, on the Bay, right?
Pink Bay-o.
And again, he is James Bay, apparently BAE, according to the girls.
Yes. And Mike Heatherwood.
Yes. Corrosion of Conformity are legends in the heavy metal world, hard rock world. They've been making blues tinge southern metal for like 35 years, and they released an album recently. And they're delivering music that I think is really refreshing because it's a very kind of straightforward, no-frills hard rock. This is Cast the First Stone.
Is that the type of music you listen to when you're working out?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
That or like really, really violent classical music.
Oh.
Because I feel like I'm Braveheart or like some sinister Highlander
For
warrior
sure.
that's going to chop your head off.
Yeah. Some blue paint. Get out there. Yeah. Excellent.
Screaming freedom.
All right.
While I deadlift.
We need a camera on that. Mine is from a man named Charles Bradley, and I saw a documentary about him about 5 years ago called Soul of America, and it's just his journey into music and his life story, which is very sad, but also very beautiful. And this is a man that put out his first record when he was 62 years old.
Wow.
And he's got this soulful, beautiful voice. It's got R&B tinges in it. It's got funk in it. He was signed to Daptone. He is fantastic. If you want to see that documentary, I really recommend it, called Soul of America. Unfortunately, he passed away in September, so there's no new music from him, but this is off his last album, and it's a Black Sabbath cover of Changes.
Ugh. I love Charles Bradley, too. I'm right there with you. And Daptone Records had him and Sharon Jones, two of the greatest singers in America today, and lost them both so young to cancer. Yeah. Just tragic what's happened to that poor label.
Absolutely. And you can find all of those at Kevin and Bean on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It is our Spotify playlist called That's My Jam. Follow along. We'll have new music for you on Monday, because that's what we do for you guys. Some birthdays for you. Actors Victor Garber, Alan Tudyk, Eric Estrada, and actresses Lauren Graham and Alexandra Daddario. And that's what's happening.
The Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
I love the CBS Evening News, Allie. We've talked about it before. I know that a lot of people don't need a newscast like that anymore in the age of the internet. But I enjoy it.
I enjoy Steve Hartman. All of his stories are some of my favorites.
Yes, he does a great job. In fact, I'm not sure if this was a Steve Hartman story or not, but I did see Rishi Sharma's story on the CBS Evening News recently, and it blew me away. He is 20 years old, and he has essentially dedicated his life to this nonprofit that he runs called Heroes of the Second World War. He is on a mission to do in-depth filmed interviews with World War II combat veterans while they're still alive. Because let's face it, World War II ended like 70 years ago or something like that. So these guys are getting near the end, and we're losing a bunch of them every single day. And Rishi has taken it upon himself to get their stories down on tape. It's a fascinating story for such a young man. Again, only 20, and he joins us on the phone right now. Where are you, in Colorado, Rishi?
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having me. Right now, I'm in Boulder, Colorado.
All right, Fab. Well, we appreciate you jumping on. We know how busy you are. I was so blown away by your story for so many different reasons, but why don't you tell me where the idea came from? Hey, I need to get some cameras and some microphones in front of these veterans.
Well, in all honesty, you know, ever since I was a little kid, I've always been interested, you know, in history and World War II. And, you know, I don't know what little boy, you know, didn't play Army and that kind of stuff, but for me, you know, my heroes weren't like sports celebrities or athletes or, you know, musicians. It was always the World War II combat veterans, because they literally saved the world. So I used to, you know, read books about the war, and I started, you know, calling up the veterans who would be featured in these books. And it was such an amazing feeling to actually talk to this real-life hero who I just looked up on the internet and who got his phone number, and read him the passage in a book about him and hear his thoughts about, you know, what happened. But if I wanted to get in touch with some kind of useless person like the Kardashians, I would have to go through like a million people. And I realized, you know, these heroes are all among us. So when I was in high school, I started riding my bike to the local nursing and senior homes to go meet with these veterans, because every single retirement community, which, you know, there's practically one in every city, they all have these World War II veterans. And I just I started interviewing them, and I loved it so much that I started ditching class to go do it, because I would learn more talking to them than I was in school. And when I graduated, I realized, you know, this is what I want to do. And I decided to not go to college or anything. And my mission is to meet and interview 2 to 3 World War II combat veterans a day till the last one passes away. And I've just been driving across the states doing that since. I've been to, like, I think 43 or 44 of the states now. Wow. I've done just over 850 interviews.
I'm sorry, how many interviews, Rishi?
Just over 850.
Oh, my gosh.
It's unbelievable. And where did you grow up? What town did you grow up in?
Agoura Hills, California.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you were riding your bike, and then when you got your license, you started driving everything within a day's distance. And then at some point, you just hit the road and kind of made this your full-time thing, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it just got bigger and bigger. You know, at first I was just, you know, riding my bike to go meet the veterans. And then the local paper did a story, and people started calling me saying, you know, my dad's a World War II veteran, or, you know, my grandpa's a World War II veteran. And I just kind of kept expanding my radius, and I kept doing interviews in California. And then
eventually the Associated Press picked up the story, and that went national, and that's what led to Steve Hartman and CBS folks mm-hmm. doing a story. And that's what really propelled me, because a lot of people, you know, were willing to support me, and a lot of people told me about veterans all across the country.
Rishi, is it difficult to get these veterans to talk to you, because we've been told that they are, you know, they don't consider themselves heroes, wrongly, and they sometimes are so modest that they don't like to talk about what they did during the war, and sometimes it's very painful for them to talk about what they did during the war. Do you have trouble getting them to open up to you?
Well, in all honesty, sir, it's kind of a myth. You know, a lot of people will say, a lot of people think that, you know, their grandpa or their father was like, went through Saving Private Ryan. But in reality, you know, the combat veterans, you know, of the infantry, they're far and few in between. And a lot of people had support roles. And I think it's really that people don't ask. And they think that their, you know, family member doesn't want to talk about it. But a lot of the time, it just takes someone willing to sit down and be interested and ask the veterans about it. And they're more than willing. I've really never had a veteran, you know, completely say, no, I can't talk about it, it's too painful. Because it was like 75 years ago, you know, if they're going to talk about it.
Right.
Now's the time.
And what I love about this is you're filming all of these, and it's essentially living history, and you're giving copies of this to their family so then they can pass it down from generation to generation, because these stories are eventually going to be lost if you don't do this.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's so important that these veterans get interviewed, you know, while we have the technology, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What's crazy to me is, if a Civil War veteran came out of the grave, you know, all the news media would be begging him for an interview, just for like 5 minutes of his time. And they'd be mm-hmm. using the nicest cameras and the fanciest equipment, and they'd be on their knees begging. But what boggles my mind is we have that opportunity with the World War II veterans, who are undoubtedly way cooler. And people, you know, are taking selfies. And I mean, I just feel that we have the technology, we have yeah. the know-how, and we have the means. It's so easy to find the veterans nowadays. You know, it's so easy transportation-wise to go meet them that people could be using, you know, their iPhones and their cameras to actually, you know, as a tool to capture history so that 200 years from now, people won't have to wonder what it was like for the World War II veterans. They'll understand what it's like to grow up in the Great Depression, you know, to lie about your age and go into the service because you wanted to fight, to see your friends getting killed around you, to have to go kill people, you know, after 3 or 4 years of that, then to come home and be told just to man up and move on, because post-traumatic stress wasn't diagnosed back then.
Sure.
You know, they thought you were, you know, being a coward if you were scared. And they just went on to lead incredible lives, you know. They
That's right.
literally created the pillars of our society.
We are talking to Rishi Sharma here on the Kevin DeBean Show. He's the founder of the Heroes of the Second World War, heroesofthesecondworldwar.org. What's the GoFundMe campaign about, Rishi? What are you raising money for?
Well, you know, the GoFundMe, it's really not as relevant anymore after the CBS piece did the story.
Okay.
And I was very fortunate that a lot of folks donated. But the reason I had raised the funds was to support me to drive across the country interviewing the veterans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not old enough to rent a car, so I can't really fly anywhere and, you know, go do interviews. I have to drive everywhere. That's just a really, that's pretty costly, just having to drive to every single state. And,
sure,
like, every
of course.
City.
Yeah, because you're only 20 years old. When's your birthday, Rishi?
October.
All right. You're doing, you've done more with your life before 21 than the rest of us listening to you have done in our whole lives. It's an unbelievably moving thing that you're doing. And on behalf of the America, we thank you for that. We thank you for putting in the work to do this. Is there, before I let you go, sir, is there a place that people can see or hear the interviews you've conducted?
Yeah, you know, what I would ask is, you know, if people can, you know, take the time and visit the nonprofit's website, Heroes, H-E-R-O-E-S, of the Second World War, all spelled out, .org. There are interviews on there, and there's also interviews on a YouTube channel called Heroes of the Second World War. But what I really would request is anyone listening, if you know or you think you may know any World War II combat veterans, please reach out. My contact information is on the website. It's under Contact Us. I'm more than happy to try to get them interviewed. And even if you don't want me to interview them, please consider, you know, going and visit your grandpa, you know, today or tomorrow, or your father, and use your phone and just record them, because when they're gone, they're gone. Yeah. And this is really the time. And okay. I just...
If there's anyone listening from the History Channel, anyone from a production company, I would watch the hell out of this on television.
Over and over again.
Yeah, right? For real.
Reach
for real.
Out to this guy.
Yeah,
for sure.
Get in touch. Rishi, thank you for making time to jump on the Kevin and Bean Show today, and thank you for what you're doing. We really appreciate it, and you're inspiring a lot of people.
Well, I really appreciate you guys taking the time, and the last thing I'll say is just whoever is listening, please realize, you know, as tough as life gets today, you know, it really pales in comparison to what these heroes went through so that we can have a chance at life. And if you meet a veteran, you know, from any war or any conflict, just please let them know that you're grateful for your freedom and that you have an opportunity to wake up in a house that's not bombed out, or that you can go up to anyone and you can say whatever you want without any fear of repercussion, or that you can dream about what you want to do with your life 30, 40 years down the road, because that's such a blessing. And real people, 17, 18, 19-year-old kids, you know, they didn't give up their lives, but their lives were taken, and they never got an opportunity, you know, to really have kids or raise a family or
sure.
do what they wanted to do. So,
right on, Rishi.
The world.
Thanks again, man. Have yourself a great weekend. We'll talk to you again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now. Well, we're a piece of crap.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
You know, wow. Live, right?
I'm just going to go ahead and kill myself today.
I wouldn't do that. But he brings up such a good point. They are all over the place.
Right.
Nursing homes, retirement centers. And you know what? They just want to talk.
Yeah, exactly. That's great stuff. We'll put up the link to Rishi's site on all of our Kevin and Bean social media as well.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock. Radio.com.
What piece of tape do we need to play?
A couple of years ago.
Nothing. We don't need to play
anything. Beer Mug went to the World Red Carpet premiere of Captain America, and he got to interview a World War II veteran.
Louis Zamperini, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The famous one. Okay,
It's amazing. We have to revisit that.
In light of the conversation we just had with Rishi, who's going around videotaping World War II veterans, we might like to hear how Muggs handled his interview.
Yeah, show how it's done, right, Muggs?
First, though, ahead of that, let's take care of this. We're very excited to welcome the great Jack White back to town. He is, Ali announced earlier today, he's going to be doing a super secret special show at the Mayan on Tuesday night. Tickets go on sale when, Ali, for that?
Well, it's all convoluted now. If you're a member of his street team, it's at 9 o'clock, then it's noon for other people. I'll say that in what's happening coming up.
Okay, cool. So Jack White coming to town, new record coming out next Friday, but he is going to be here in the building at the HD Radio Sound Space, and we want to give you tickets to be there in person with a game that we like to call Omaroki.
Maroki as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
Omar is here. Yeah. He is not a singer as much as Jack White is, but he is going to be attempting Jack White songs from all phases of his career, right, O?
Yeah. Mainly a lot of White Stripes, but we'll play some Raconteurs also.
Okay, so all you have to do is identify the song that Omar is singing by title. If you're right, you win. No drawing. You go right into the HD Radio Sound Space to be there for Jack White when he stops by at K-Rock next week. So let's just take him in order here, Muggs. We'll start with line one. This is going to be Ryan. He's in Long Beach, up first on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ryan.
Hey.
You ready?
Good luck. Little Omaroki. Yeah, what song is O singing here?
Can't think of anything to do. Yeah, my left brain knows that a love is fleeting. Just looking for something new. Yeah, I said it once before, but it bears repeating now. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Got it. Yes, Ryan, what song?
Oh,
you just say the title and you get to come to the HD Radio Sound Space.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so but it bears repeating now.
I'm sorry, we're looking for Fell in Love with a Girl.
Oh my god.
I think I sound better.
Struggle. All right, that's how that works. Christy, wow. Newport Beach, up next. Hey Christy.
Hi.
Can you believe that Ryan didn't get Fell in Love with a Girl?
I knew that one. Darn it.
All right. Let's see if you know this one. Here's Omar.
Redhead senorita looking dead coming said, I need a bed in Espanol. I said, give me a drink of water. I'm going to sing around the collar and I don't need a microphone.
Have you heard Jack White?
Christy, what song is that, please?
It is... Oh, my gosh, I know that song.
Oh, good. Give us the title.
It is...
We were looking for Icky Thump. That's pretty easy to make fun of Ryan, isn't it, huh? How about that? All right. 0-for-2 so far. Is it the callers or is it Omar?
The callers. It's the callers. Definitely Omar's the callers. On point.
Thank you, Mike.
Right. Let's try Raul Palmdale up next. Hey, Raul.
Good morning, party people. I knew both of those.
Oh, good. All right. Let's see how you do with yours. Good luck.
Well, women and children need kisses, not the man in my life I know. And I've been going through mystery and misses. I respect the art of the show.
All right, Raul, you're the big Jack White fan. What song is that, please?
Hypocritical Kiss.
That was My Doorbell. Well, women and children need kisses, not... All right, guys.
It's pretty good, huh?
It wasn't bad.
I gotta be honest. I'm not pleased with the rate at which we're giving away the tickets. How about Lita, L.A.? Hey, Lita.
Hi, how are you doing?
What's the problem here? What are we doing wrong with Omaroki?
I'm not sure, but I'm afraid...
Maybe I'm rocking too hard. I think I need to tone it down a notch.
Dial it back.
Okay.
All right, let's see if you and Lita can get on the same wavelength. Good luck.
Don't want to hear about it. Every single one's got a story to tell.
There it is. She said it. Seven Nation Army. All right, so Lita so far is the only one in the HD Radio sound space. I'm sorry.
Omar is so bummed.
He was really looking forward to that one. All right, let's see if Sean can join Lita there at the HD Radio sound space. He's in La Cañada. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how are you?
All right, Omar is going to sing a Jack White song for you. You tell us what it is by title and you're in.
All right, great.
When you have completed what you thought you had to do, and your blood's depleted at the point of stable glue, then you'll get along.
Doom, doom, doom.
Then you'll get along.
Mike Catherwood on the bass, little assistance there. What do you think, Sean?
Oh, come on!
We played the song a billion times on K-Rock.
Oh, no. I forget this one. Not 16 Salt Teams, is it?
No. It is steady as she goes. When you have completed what you
thought you had to do. Sorry, Omar, I just got possessed by your singing.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Understandable, Mike.
Yeah.
Let's go to Costa Mesa, say hi to Madeline.
Oh, no. Oh,
whoops. Did we just lose Madeline?
Yeah. Oh, Madeline.
Sorry about that. Let's try Hugo San Fernando, then line 7 up next. Hey, Hugo, you ready to play?
He's a boss.
Yes.
Stop.
Get out of here, Mike. Seriously, leave.
Done.
All right, Hugo, here's Omar. Good luck.
Soft hair and a velvet tongue, I want to give you...
Sorry.
Soft hair and a velvet tongue, I want to give you what you give to me. And every breath that is in your lungs is a tiny little gift to me. It's a tiny little gift to me!
All right, Hugo, what song is that, please?
Deadly and Dirty Ground?
Sure is.
Boom.
Yeah! Right, we could go out on a winner, but I say let's try one more and make it Andrew in Seal Beach, line 8. Andrew, our final contestant. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Good luck, sir.
We named him Baby. He had a toothache. He started crying. It sounded like an earthquake. It didn't last long because I stopped it. I grabbed a rag doll and stuck some little pins in it.
Andrew.
Hardest button to button.
Boom. Yeah. There it is. More tickets all weekend long for Jack White in the HD Radio sound space here at K-Rock. This has been Omaroki.
Omaroki, that's our game and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
What?
You're right.
I'm trying to sabotage the bit.
Like you sabotage your own life.
Oh.
Hey, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Friday. We're going to ask you to text in a few minutes for Keep It 100 like we do, where you get to pick a song. So stand by for that. Allie's got more stuff to give away and what's happening coming up. But first, though, few minutes ago, I hope you were listening, because we talked to a remarkable young man, a Southern California man named Rishi Sharma, and he has made it his life's mission to drive around the country, can't rent a car, can't fly someplace to rent a car because he's not 21 yet, he told us. But he's driving around the country, and he's interviewing World War II veterans while they're still alive. He knows that they are living, walking history. They've got a story to tell, and he wants to get it out on tape before we lose them all. And then Omar reminded us that Beer Mug was way ahead of his time in interviewing a World War II veteran. He's at the red carpet of what film, Muggs?
This was the first Captain America that came out. I believe it was like 2012.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Louis Zamperini is there, mm-hmm. who is not only a World War II veteran, he's one of the most famous World War II veterans of all, because they even made a movie about him called Unbroken. This is a guy who was an Olympic distance runner. He ran for the United States in the 1936 Berlin Olympics. He was a World War II bombardier whose plane crashed, and he spent like 3 months in the water, right? Like drifting through shark-infested waters before he finally gets picked up, and then he gets put into a Japanese prison camp where he is tortured and starved for 2 years. All right? They made a movie about this man's life.
My God.
As awful as all that was, talking to Beer Mug on this red carpet must have felt worse.
Can I just, before we play it... for those listening, I have nothing but respect for every veteran of war.
Well, that shows absolutely. In this interview.
Yeah, World War II especially. But I just want people to know that I wasn't trying to be a dick. I was trying to be funny, which I'm clearly not. Now, let's just listen. Mr. Louis Zamperini, a veteran of World War II. How you doing, sir?
Well, I'm doing great for my age.
Yeah, you look fantastic. I was surprised to hear that an actual World War II vet was at the Captain America world premiere. And let me ask you, besides, you know, getting a victorious win over the Axis powers, how was it like fighting with Captain America himself?
All right, stop right there, please. You can tell that you didn't have, and this is my favorite thing about Muggs when he does interviews, he starts a question and he has no idea how it's going to end.
I mean, I can hear
the wheels turning.
And by the way, no preparation on this, like I do. Mm-hmm. And so the publicist for Mr. Zamperini comes up and he says, would you like to interview a real-life World War II veteran?
Yeah.
Like, sure. Yeah, he's a track, right? He's in the Olympics. And yeah. He, you know, I was like, absolutely, bring him by. Mm-hmm. Not knowing anything about him.
Right.
Was your question really, what was it like fighting with Captain America? I mean, did you think that the movie was real and there was a Captain America that he served side by side with?
Of course not, Bean. I was just trying to, like I say, be clever and tie in the movie with the real life.
Okay. And what did you expect the 90-year-old man to come back with?
I don't know.
That's the other thing. I understand you weren't prepared to interview a veteran of World War II. But you understand that he was 95 years old at the time.
Yeah.
Why go with the complexities of the movie tie-in and the hypothetical?
Because I'm a dumbass.
Okay.
Let's hear what he said.
How was it like fighting with Captain America himself?
What was the question about?
Did you meet Steve Rogers himself?
I don't.
Captain America?
No, I don't think so, no.
That's all right. So, all right,
you doubled down on the concept, right? Which is, he obviously didn't get it. He was just lost, deer in the headlights. So you thought you'd drive it home by asking it again.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
All right.
So, Mr. Zamperini, tell me what it was like being imprisoned during World War II. Okay, hold on, real quick, before he answers this question. This was a question I wanted to find out about. And it's probably touchy to ask a World War II veteran or any prisoner of war what it was like. I mean, you can obviously kind of guess what it was like, right?
But you're on the red carpet at a movie premiere. How deep and dark do you want to go with his time in a Japanese prison camp?
I mean, I clearly think I'm a legitimate journalist here, and that's what I was doing.
Right.
Tell me what it was like being imprisoned during World War II.
To get 3 ice balls a day. And that's it. And they're subject to beatings almost on a daily basis.
That is amazing. 3 rice balls a day, subject to daily beatings. I mean, if you've seen the movie Unbroken, you see what he went through. And my response is, that is amazing.
Amazing. Oh. Well, because Muggs loves rice.
I hate myself.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
I look forward to this time of the show every single week, and not just because we're close to being done for the weekend, but because it's Keep It 100. Hit it, Steve.
I gotta keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
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 I'ma keep it 100. I'ma keep it 100.
100. 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Y'all are awesome. You text us your request every week at this time. Any K-Rock song we have ever played, if we still have it in the system, we'll play it for you. Here's what just missed this time around. Tell me if you guys would have been satisfied with Texter 99. Trevor wanted Sex Dwarf by Soft Cell.
Oh,
ooh.
Good.
Why is nice. Brad Williams going by the name Trevor is my question I have. Texter 101 was Robert in Huntington Beach was looking for a little I Don't Want to Fight by Alabama Shakes, which is also a great song. That would have sounded fine, but only one can be Texter 100, and that's our man Jose, who joins us on the phone from Baldwin Park. Hey, Jose.
Hey, morning, guys.
What's going on? What are you up to today? What are you up to this weekend?
Hanging out, working. Hanging out with the family, unfortunately.
Oh.
Unfortunately, of course.
Hold on a sec. You not getting along with your family?
No, I love them, but I can't hang out with them, you know?
I get it. We need a break sometimes, Jose.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right, how about St. Patrick's Day? You got any plans for the holiday tomorrow?
Getting drunk.
Okay.
Attaboy.
All right.
Attaboy.
Jose's on our wavelength. All right, you had any K-Rock song in your whole life to choose from. Which one did you pick?
I picked L7. Pretend That We're Dead.
Now, that's a great effing song. How come, Jose?
It just reminds me of my childhood growing up and when music was good.
All right, man. Well, we're going to let you hang up the phone so you can turn it up real, real loud. Here's Jose from Baldwin Park's pick, Keep It 100 on K-Rock. Jose was going through some stuff, but he gave us a great suggestion for a song for Keep It 100 today, didn't he?
I did.
That is from 1992, you guys, the band L7. The song is Pretend We're Dead. When we started playing it, Mike, you said what out loud?
I said that the production on this song is fantastic.
And why do you suppose that is?
Well, I'm guessing by the lead-in to that question, it was Butch Vig.
Ladies and gentlemen, Butch Vig produced that song for the band L7. How about that? Okay, that's too much.
It's a lot of clapping.
That's more clapping that was needed. And that's your fun fact about this week's Keep It 100. We'll do it again next Friday. Thank you, Jose.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
What's happening? What's happening? Seriously, though, I just want to know. What's happening?
Tell the lady what's happening, Allie.
Well, I appreciate your interest. What's happening is March 25th at 2 p.m. The cast of Riverdale up there on the stage at the Dolby Theater for
That's
Paley
the best
Fest.
Looking cast on television, by the way.
I mean, it's CW. It's illegal.
I know, the CW is famous for it, yeah. But even for the CW, this is a ridiculously beautiful cast.
Yeah.
The actresses who play Betty and Veronica are two of the hottest ladies I've ever seen in my life, and they're both on one show.
Do you need
Back
a minute,
you.
Or you okay?
All right. They're very talented actors, and it's a really good
they?
Show with lots of great storylines that are intriguing, and you should be watching.
Lead with that, Bean. Okay. Lead with that.
Luke Perry is on that show, by the way, if you guys don't know.
Not with your Willie.
Those who don't watch it, Luke Perry is on the show. Machen Amick is on the show. There's all sorts of... Skeet Ulrich is on the show. There's super good
Skeet.
People on this program. Yes!
Skeet.
So tell me about how I can see the Riverdale cast.
At Paley Fest 2018 on March 25th at 2 p.m. And just a reminder for you guys, because I love you, Mega Millions tonight. That drawing is valued at $345 million. That's a $205 million gift. But if that's not enough for you and you're like, nah, not buying a ticket, I'm waiting until it's over $450. Well, then you would do the Powerball. And that's Saturday night's drawing. That is valued at $455 million. That takeaway is $269 million. So, I mean, that's ridiculous. Guys, if you saw the news yesterday and you were worried, like Beyonce when she announced she was pregnant and everybody at Coachella was like, but with the baby, will you perform? The same thing happened with Cardi B. Cardi B is indeed pregnant.
Yay!
But don't you worry, Coachella fans. She will indeed be up there on the stage because she's due the first week of July. So that only puts her at about 7 months out there in 105-degree weather.
So she won't dance. She'll make tummy moves.
Holy moly.
That was so bad.
Wow. You cannot be happy
about
that.
I'm super pumped on it.
Okay. All right. She will be remaining in work mode until she pops. She also fully intends to go on tour with Bruno Mars in September. That's just 2 months after giving birth, going on that leg of the tour. But she's got a lot on the line, about $100,000 per night of that tour, and same with those Coachella dates. But it reminded me of the story that came out of the Super Bowl when people said that they spotted her. She wasn't drinking. She just had water. She was performing, but she wouldn't hang out in, like, the VIP party area. She was just off to the side. So people thought, oh, this is back in January. They were like, she's totally pregnant. And she denied it and said one of the greatest quotes I've ever seen ever. She said, no, bitch, I'm just getting fat. Let me fat in peace.
And that was one of my favorites.
I was so enamored with her, and now I know she really is just having a baby, right? I don't know how it works, but she was pregnant in January, right? Mm.
Yes. So she's a big lying liar who lies.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Speaking of big lying liars who lie.
Absolutely not.
Not Kat. The people that say they aren't going to drink Guinness this weekend because 13 million pints of Guinness will be consumed worldwide on St. Patrick's Day. 13 million pints of Guinness. That is just insane. But where do you go to drink pints of Guinness? If only someone was here with maybe a St. Patrick's Day roundup.
I will have 11 million of those pints.
Kat,
I'll leave 2 mil for the rest.
That's nice of you. You come in on Fridays and you tell us what's happening around town.
Well, I thought I would do a little St. Patrick's Day roundup because there's lots of... No, Mugs, no.
Come on.
Come on, Kat.
I'm going to have to apologize to Flogging Molly tomorrow for all the bad leprechaun accents that keep coming out.
And he just keeps whipping out his shillelagh.
Just stop it. So tomorrow, here's what's going on. A couple of ideas. So there's the annual parade in Hermosa Beach, which goes down every year. It's only like 7 blocks long. It ends at the pier. Then you've got Casey's
Pub. By the way, is the Kevin B. Janky van in that parade?
I don't know. It should be.
I feel like we should be.
Yeah.
It should be. Okay. Rock and Riley's, the annual block party up on Sunset. That's 8 bars involved, food trucks. They're blocking off a big area for that. Downtown LA goes off with Angel City Brewing, who we love. They're doing something, as well as Casey's Pub in downtown LA, who does it every year. And those guys, they begin at 11 a.m. Early admission at 6 a.m., by the way, at Casey's.
No. Really?
Yes. Yes. Ooh. So that's kind of gross. Anyway, let's move on to some fun. I want to give you a little heads up because Rex Manning Day is coming up. Y'all a fan of Rex Manning Day?
Well, sure. Sexy Rexy.
The anniversary of, it's April 8th every year. Of course, Empire Records, the just awful movie that came out in 1995. The soundtrack's amazing. The movie, total poop sandwich. But Rex Manning, played by Maxwell Caulfield. You remember his hit single?
No, what was it?
Say No More, Mon Amour.
All right, and how are we supposed to celebrate Rex Manning Day this year?
Well, it's, you know, being fabulous, but my friends over at Muse, it's a studio in Sioux City, they put together these great nights, and, you know, if there's a ticket left, I tweeted the link, get it, because my pals Kay and Mike from Letters to Cleo are performing, Linda from the Martinis, and Joe from the Mises are performing. Both the Martinis and Mises are on the original soundtrack. Just a host of bands related with the 90s, and it's going to be a 90s jam-tastic evening.
Nice. You know my feeling about Letters to Cleo.
Then you should come with
me. Much.
All right.
All right.
You can come and make out with them. It's cool.
Sweet.
All right. I don't know how you guys feel about the relaunch of Roseanne. Any thoughts?
I am going to check it out, but I would not consider myself a big Roseanne fan going into it.
I didn't watch it the first time around, to be honest.
Mike? I'm in. I mean, I'll definitely give it a shot.
You know, the first version of it snuck up on me because it's so irreverent and sassy. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was going to be like that. And now I'm watching, you know, preview commercials of the new one, and I'm kind of like,
That's your review?
Well, it's hard because back when it first came out, I was talking to Dave about it off the air. It was unbelievable to see a sitcom family that was poor. And that wasn't educated, and that talked in a way that
completely
most real people talked to.
Did you not live in the world when Sanford and Son was on the air?
I didn't. So, I mean, to me, and that seems so much more, when I would watch reruns of Sanford and Son, that seemed like it was going for the laughs, and it was kind of cartoonish, and it's...
Roseanne was a lot more realistic.
It seemed like you were watching a real family, and it was great. Now, with the internet and streaming services, that doesn't seem all that new.
And 10 million American families have their own YouTube channels or something. So it's not like there's any shortage of actual real people. So.
Well, and I don't know if like they can be, like they were kind of controversial back when they launched that show because they would have these weird, I mean, they tackled so
is
many issues.
Now.
And so it kind of seems a little schmaltzy, if you ask me. Regardless, whoever's doing these amazing bus stop campaigns, I salute you because we saw the ones for Altered Carbon that had the fake real bodies in the body bags. Our friend Rich Rubin of K-Rock, he snapped a photo and he's like, this happened. I love LA. And it's a bus stop in Los Angeles where it has the plaid couch and the knitted blanket, the crocheted blanket. They set up the living room of Roseanne in place of a bus bench.
You're kidding.
A couch. In Los Angeles.
That's very cool.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome because it just looks like a living room, and who wouldn't want to wait there? So I thought that was great.
I'm going to be sleeping there tomorrow night.
I don't have to kick someone out first.
Wow, from bush to couch.
Yep.
That's nice.
It's an upgrade.
Hey, yeah, it is.
Woo-hoo. I don't even know.
Well, thank you guys so much, Kat. Some birthdays for you. Victor Garber, Alan Tudyk, Eric Estrada, Lauren Graham, and Alexandra Daddario. And that's what's happening.
It is indeed. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness when we all win with Stryker's commercial free-for-all during your drive home today. Check this out, you guys. Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, Talinda Bennington will be here, right? The widow of Chester Bennington. She's got some big things planned. Mark Hamas with a big announcement and great news. See you Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
All right, now we'll get right back.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
That's something else right there, man.
And just pass it on down.
All right. The way they performed was, frankly, disgusting.
Boys, we have to let you go.
I see. This is some very unexpected news. Please allow me a moment to process it.
Man, I'm going to tell you right now, y'all, I was hating it up until the finale, but the finale is what got me.
No, it was fun. It was fun.
It was not fun.
No, it wasn't.
Well, as long as life continues to disappoint us, I'm going to pee. Excuse me.
Wakanda forever.
K-Rock, it's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Never mind. Sorry.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.